Hey, Thomas, it's John. You're on WGN again. How are you? Thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Hey, all right. It's working. So Nature's Find, where are you guys based? You're in Chicago, right?
We are in Chicago. We are local Chicago guys, although the accent you hear might not be really fully Illinois and French, but we are in Chicago. We are in the old stockyard.
No, that's not a Chicago accent. Do me a favor. Say streets and sand.
Can you say that again?
I'm trying to think, like, say deep dish, say sausage.
Sausage.
No, that's French. That's not Chicago, but you're a but you're a Chicago guy now. You've lived here for over a decade, and you married an Illinois girl, correct?
That's absolutely true. Yeah, my wife grew up in Batavia, Illinois, so I'm a quasi local guy.
Right? Yeah,
if you have me, I'll stick around.
Yeah, well, I think we'll take you. So then there's this Nature's Find company, and what do you all make? What do you do?
So we make food that looks like the food that you might have in your fridge or that you might be eating, but it's a little bit different in the way it's made. And what we do actually is we do it with microbes.
What does that mean?
So it means that, well, let me back up maybe a little bit and give you a little bit of the history of the company. So the company started as a research project for NASA. And the goal of the research originally was to try to figure out if NASA was going to send a probe to a moon of Saturn or to Mars, what would be the environment in which it would make sense to look for life? And you know, it's obviously not a very easy question because we know life on planet Earth. That's one example. We're not quite sure how life could be organized outside of the environment that we know. And so what we did is we went to check life in a place that has a very different environment, and that's the volcanic acidic springs of Yellowstone National Park. And what we discovered there in these springs that have some of the, you know, highest density of chromium, arsenic, some heavy metal, and that are very acidic, just as acidic as your car battery. We discovered a bunch of new to the world microbes that had adapted in this very extreme environment. And what's interesting is a couple of things, and now I'm going to loop back into the food.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we discovered one which is, it's part of the fungi realm. So it's not a plant, it's not an animal, it's not exactly a mushroom, but it's like a microscopic mushroom. And it is 50% protein. It's a perfect protein. It has all the essential amino acid that you need to build and maintain a healthy body. It's a completely natural product. We didn't do any genetic modification. And it also has a bunch of fibers that are good for you in there as well, together with the protein. And so we developed a new technology to cultivate that. And now we can make anything from cheese to yogurt to breakfast sausages and a bunch of other products. And that's what we do here in Chicago, in the stockyard.
How do you grow or cultivate that little tiny mushroom?
So what we do is we create, it's basically a fermentation process. So, you know, people think about fermentation typically like a brewery type of thing, or when you're fermenting to do yogurt or cheese. So we've been using fermentation for food for a very, very long time. I mean, anything from bread to, you know, the yeast that we use, as I mentioned, the beer, the cheese, all of that is fermented. The fermentation that we develop is really different in the sense that it's adapted to this extreme organism. And so what we did is we designed an environment that's very comfortable for the organism and not so comfortable for others, so there's no contamination. Because that's always one of the challenges when you're trying to do fermentation. So no bad bugs that come in.
Right.
And so we do that in trays. So we put a liquid with some sugar in it and a bunch of other simple things. But we create conditions that kind of mimic the condition of the spring, but just keeping the good stuff and removing the bad stuff in the spring. So we really optimize the environment for our organism. And then it starts to grow in it. And after a few days, we harvest something that looks like a slice of raw chicken breast.
Take it out of the tray. And then you have to flavor it, I guess, huh?
Yeah. So that's and that's where there's been some really interesting work done over the past decades in classic food science, where you can really bring flavor into a lot of things. And an important part of the development of our technology was to make sure it was neutral in flavor. And once you have a neutral protein base, then you can actually flavor it the way you want. Yeah. And that makes it very, very interesting. So we can go from strawberry yogurt to chicken nuggets using simple, natural, vegan flavor. So it's amazing. You can actually make something that tastes like chicken just by mixing a bunch of herbs. It's pretty amazing how the food science can just recreate the sort of molecular footprint, if you will, of a smell, but in a different way.
So if I may, I have to pause here. Let's come back in just a second, Thomas. Thomas Jonas is on a phone line, the CEO and co-founder of a company here in Chicago called Nature's Find. So once you kind of grow this stuff that's neutral in flavor, but like you said, filled with the amino acids that we need and even has fiber in it. So it's a healthy little briquette of food stuff. Then you can flavor it or shape it into whatever we want. I want to know what the options are then. And I still want to know what it feels like. Our number is 312-981-7200 if you have a question or comment. You know, and I think probably the description of this doesn't do it justice. I don't know. I haven't tried the food. But I suppose the description of it is probably not all that appealing. And yet, what are you or I care if we get a little taste in our mouth and you say, oh, that's actually pretty good, then maybe you're on board. I'm not selling it for this guy. I'm just wondering about the viability and how particular or finicky we all will be to these kinds of. So, Thomas, you said that you sort of developed this substrate, this basic food stuff, and then you can flavor it and shape it any way you want. So are you saying then that the stuff that you all will develop, this non-meat source of food, would that little briquette that you described that comes out of the tray and you can make it into a chicken finger, would that be the same stuff that you make into cheese or cream cheese or any other types of foods? It's all the same stuff that gets flavored and shaped different ways?
I know, that sounds crazy, right? But actually, if you pause and you kind of step back and think about it for a minute, when you're getting a piece of cheese and when you're getting a steak, that's both coming from the cow. So it's kind of the same thing already. And in reality, what we have is a new protein platform. And just like you can use protein from the cow to do cheese or to do meat, you can use this protein in order to do a wide range of product. And I know it sounds a little crazy, but it's not, because fundamentally, this protein, nutritionally speaking, is very, very similar. It's highly digestible. Actually, it's more digestible than beef. And it's just very healthy. There is no cholesterol, for instance. And because we can control the environment very well, we don't have to put hormones. We don't have to put insecticides. We don't have to put pesticides. So we can actually get this product, which, again, it's a product from nature. It might not be the nature we're familiar with in agriculture, right? It's something a little different, but it's a natural product, and it's just one we didn't think about. It's one we didn't know about, but it's a very good one.
Yeah, right. So then, what would it like replace in my diet? Right, like I would still need fruits and vegetables. It doesn't have vitamin C. You're talking about protein, and it makes it sound like it might be a substitute for meat, but it doesn't substitute for other things, right?
No, and I think the main thing here when it comes to food is that what we all need is variety in our diet, right? So this is not going to be the only thing you should be eating, because there is not a single thing that should be the only thing you should be eating, right? So you should mix and match so that you have an appropriate variety of vitamins, protein, carbohydrates, lipids, and you need all of these things in the right amount, right? So what we are offering is just a choice. It's a different source of protein. And the reason why it's interesting, I think there is a few reasons, but the number one reason is that we can grow this using 1% of the land that you would need to make the equivalent protein in, from an animal source, using 1% of the energy, and about 87% less water. And so those things really make a big difference. So here in Chicago, when our factory would be fully working, we would be producing as much biomass to make hamburger, for instance, that you would out of 15,000 acres of grazing land. And that is really the exciting thing, because we can do that in Chicago within city limits, and we can do that without, you know, creating any nuisance to people around. There's no pollution. It's a much, much cleaner system.
What foods are we talking about? You mentioned chicken, and I mentioned a spreadable dairy like cream cheese. What products have you developed or are you developing? What's on the menu?
So we've done various types of meat. So we will be launching a breakfast sausage. So it's more like a pork type of, you know, like the juicy breakfast sausage. Mm-hmm. But ours is going to be about 75% less fat, but it will be a little higher, about slightly higher in terms of protein. So 1 gram more protein than your regular breakfast sausage. And the taste is, you know, the idea is that it's very similar. It's an enjoyable taste. Cream cheese. So that's an indulgent product. But again, I mean, that same thing, you know, we are able to do that in a way that's very, very sustainable. We can also do yogurt. We can do some chicken. We can do hamburger. We can do a lot of different things. You know, if you think about it, when you buy a piece of meat, you know, a cow is not a unicellular organism, which means it's made of many cells. Microbes are single cell organisms. But when things get into your stomach, it doesn't really matter. They come from, you know, an organism made of many single cells, or an organism made out of, you know, just one cell. So all of these things don't really impact the quality of the food, nor does they impact the taste. There's nothing that says that because you're eating an animal, it's necessarily going to taste better than something that is not an animal.
Yeah. Well, I guess we will be the judge of that. I mean, that's the proof will be in the pudding for you. So are you in stores now? Can people try your products?
Not yet. So we will be in store toward the end of the year, so toward the second half of the year. So we're currently negotiating with retailers, and we certainly hope to bring this to Chicago. And I hope everyone will be happy to try the new local food from the stockyard.
That's right. That's ironic, isn't it? That's where you guys are located, is in the some of the space where the old Union Stockyards were, right?
Absolutely. And where we're doing some construction, some digging, we actually found an old meat hook. So we don't need that. We don't need that anymore.
You know, and yet I think some people would think that you are there as heresy, that we need to sort of respect and preserve agriculture, including cows and pigs and chickens, the way we've known it in the past. I won't get into that argument right now. I'll let other people have that one. But I'd really like to try the breakfast sausages. I've had the non-meat breakfast sausages, and I think because that is a little softer and juicier, and that seems to lend itself to sort of the substance you're working with, that's quite comparable. I've tasted ones that were really good. My problem with it was, though, that I don't remember what the fat content was of what I was eating, but the salt and calories were very high. Are you going to have that same problem as well?
No, we won't. No, we won't, as a matter of fact. But a quick comment on that. I would say, if you compare it to the milk market, today you have about 15% of milk that are sold in the U.S. that are plant-based milk, right? Soy milk or almond milk. And people know that it's not milk coming from a cow, and they're fine. You know, it's kind of what they want to buy. And so I think the way to think about this new type of protein is that, you know, they don't necessarily have to be exactly the same thing to be enjoyable food. Right. So I think that's the mm-hmm. first comment I would make. Mm-hmm. And the second comment is, I would tell you what you told your mom, what you told your kids, and what your mom probably told you when you told her, "I don't like that." She would say, You can't say you don't like it until you try it. And I think that should apply here.
Yeah, oh, no, I take your point. But will you do the blind taste tests, or will you go into grocery stores and have that little lady set up a little skillet and cook the little breakfast sausages and put them on toothpicks and hand them out?
Absolutely. We would love to do that. The only thing is COVID had made this sort of tasting a little more complicated, so retailers are a little reluctant to do that right now, but we welcome that. As a matter of fact, we had some people try our chicken nuggets and absolutely not realizing that they were not chicken based. Yeah. And so we were not even trying to fool them. It just happened to be there. They ate it and they thought it was chicken. But that's part of the fun part as well.
Well, I'm not entirely sure that the chicken nuggets I get at McDonald's are chicken either, but as long as it's something that I'm familiar with, as long as it's something, and I think texture is important. Do you agree with me on that?
Yes, texture is key. Texture is absolutely key. And one of the advantage that we have is that this organism in the wild develops a filamentous nature that kind of mimics muscle filaments. It's not exactly the same thing, but it has a texture. So this is not like a piece of tofu. It has an inner texture that has a lot of similarities with texture of meat. And I know it sounds a little crazy, but that's, there's a lot of crazy things in nature that we don't fully necessarily know about, and this is one of them.
It's a Chicago company. It's called Nature's Find, and you can't find it in grocery store shelves yet. But it's coming soon to a jewel near you. And when it does, come back with us. In fact, bring a tray of those in, Thomas, and we'll sample it on the air. Okay,
that'll be fun. We'll give you some. We'll show you some of the new things we'll be working on. So that'll be a fun. You'll be the full disclosure. You will tell to the listener whether you like it or not.
I'll be straight up. Thanks for your time, Thomas.
Absolutely.
Good luck to you guys.
Thank you. Bye.
He is the CEO. He's from France, you can tell. But he married a girl from Batavia. He's been in Chicago for about 16 years, and they are doing something at Nature's Find, employing a couple hundred people. Who knows how big that'll go?